as sheep without a shepherd, and he knew he needed to prepare for the future. Succession planning was essential. So he got his 12 disciples together and decided to send them on a training mission. He told them to go and do what he had been doing. Tell people that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. It sounds quite a tall order as they begin their ministry. But this was a specific ministry for a particular time. They were simply to copy what they had seen their master do, as often happens in an apprenticeship period. This mission was to a limited area only, and it was to be accompanied by miraculous signs. We know from what Peter and Paul later tell us that such signs authenticated the ministry of Jesus, and they authenticated the ministry of the apostles and leaders of the early church. They were not commonplace amongst most believers. Nevertheless, all Christians are called to go and proclaim the gospel in word and action, and when we do that, sometimes amazing things happen. Much that has happened in Potter's Village over the past few years is due to the partnership with people in the UK and particularly here at St. Mary's. We've had medical equipment we would have not thought possible. As I see a child who had been struggling to breathe attached to a CPAP concentrator, I've often thought about the people here who have provided such equipment. We are seeing that God had everything planned. Not only that, but the prayers of people have led to some extraordinary outcomes.
Christmas Day was nearly a low point. Moses, a 15-year-old, had been brought to Potter's Village in December. He'd been ill since 2015 and treated by prayer, herbs, and the occasional visit to a hospital, but he was deteriorating. One of the prayer groups said it was time to seek medical help again. Potter's Village was chosen as the best place to go. And although our age range is 12 years and under, how could we turn Moses away? He was skin and bone. He had no strength to sit up and he couldn't eat or drink. It looked grim. A test showed he had TB and treatment was started. Moses then began having fits, suggesting that the TB was in the brain. At 7 a.m. on Christmas morning, Mike received a phone call from Jovia to say that Moses was dying. Mike went to see him and I was left feeling profoundly sad. How could we celebrate Christmas Day with the death of Moses? I texted around, please pray for a miracle. I and others begged God for a miracle and we got one. Not only did Moses survive Christmas Day, but this is him, only 6 weeks later, leaving us to start the school term in 2 days. We dubbed Moses our Christmas miracle, and it was a good start to the year.
Also, early in the year, Alan Cook finished the major work in the hostel, and Dr. Nikki, a visiting doctor, moved into the flat, which is large and light. Alan was also determined to complete the maternity wing, and this is where we begin our explanation of how we have used your money during the past 6 months. A gift of £1,375 was given towards antenatal care last year. When we returned to Uganda, we bought a delivery bed. That, of course, came without any instructions as to how to put it together. We also bought a sterilizing unit, scissors, clamps, bowls, needles, and a variety of necessary implements and a metal trolley. This meant that we had the necessary equipment for a delivery, but the building was not entirely fit for purpose. First, the window was taken out of the end room and the door moved round. A ramp was built in case it would be necessary to wheel a bed in or out. The visitor's kitchen was transformed into a sterilizing area with a fan, and toilet bits were reconfigured into a clever, flushable sluice system. The front room will be a storage area for linen and other items. A doorway was made through to the delivery area. Extra lights were put into this room, and the bathroom sink was altered to make a placenta inspection area with the shower head transferred over to the sink taps. All very clever. The last necessity was a placenta pit as a final resting place for the placenta. All this work cost £721.43, but it means we have a complete maternity unit. In time, another delivery bed will be required and some extra beds for the antenatal and postnatal ward, but to have a maternity unit ready is a positive development.
Favourite was brought to us on the morning of March the 9th. She was a tiny newborn, naked and still attached to the placenta. The mother had given birth in a dilapidated building beside the market and then walked away. We christened the placenta pit with her placenta.
Not quite so interesting, but necessary, was the £23.81 spent putting an iron sheet roof onto the bathing area outside the medical centre. This not only allows for privacy, but prevents those wanting a minimal wash from having a full shower when it rains.
Your money also bought extra wire washing lines for the laundry, £74.29, curtain rails and curtains for the new flat, £68.69, a computer device to link the office computers, £85.88, an ear thermometer, £37.54, knife, strainer and grater for the nutrition unit, £17.31, and a brick urinal area by the gate, £135.95.
Annual medical registration, £140.85, and medical licensing, £23.81. The annual practicing license for the medical centre was £62. For Paul Darrell, a visitor who connected the buildings beyond the medical centre to the generator, £143.81. You have no idea how wonderful this has been during the many daily power cuts we have been experiencing.
£59.52 was spent by Richard. He built a mock-up of a toilet system with a plastic portaloo and rainwater collection for hand washing. Some of our community support children live in very rocky areas where it's impossible to dig deep for a pit latrine, so they just use the bushes and the compound as a toilet. This system means they could carry the solid waste to an area where a pit could be dug. It's much more sanitary and something a family could be encouraged to save for.
St Mary's continues to fund the blood tests and medication needed for Festo to control his overactive thyroids. £59.52 was spent on this in the last 6 months, but it includes a stockpiling tablets to last him until we return.
St Mary's have been supporting the family of Nsaba. Thanks to the land rental that was provided for them, they can now feed themselves without support. We are still paying school fees for the siblings of £61.79. Another family you've supported is that of the Chanaka twins. This mother was left with five children and no money when her husband died. Most of their food was obtained by begging from neighbours. St Mary's has been renting land for the mother to grow her own food and make some money. And it was hoped that by the time we left, she would be able to rent for herself. Sadly, this is not so. The last harvest was so bad that she only got one sack of beans, not the expected four. She had nothing to sell, no income, and on the meagre food the children were receiving in order to make the beans last, they were starving. The truth is that this family could easily starve to death without intervention. We needed a more permanent solution. Using £928.57 of your money, we have bought a piece of land for the mother. It's covered with stones, but it will be fertile. The mother is a worker and appreciates the further opportunity she's been given. This really is the difference between life and death for the whole family.
A major acquisition from St. Mary's donation this time was another CPAP machine, which cost £2,000. This machine does more than oxygen alone can achieve. We use it when babies or young children are having serious difficulties in breathing.
The crisis centre has taken in 9 babies since January, which is more than usual. We needed to find resettlement solution for some of the older babies. Young Tui, who is so gorgeous and cheeky, is now with a foster mother far from his biological mother. We hope that in time he will recover from his neglect and from being abandoned 3 times and will thrive in a place of love and nurture.
Sirius Alban, a pygmy child, has gone to his grandmother in a Batwa settlement outside Kisoro. Life won't be easy, but we are keeping an eye on him.
The last use of your money has enabled us to begin our succession plan to allow us to leave Kisoro next March. Phase 1 was to find a good administrator to take on oversight of the project. We expected it to be difficult to find the right person, but it wasn't. Emmanuel was the unanimous choice of the diocesan interviewing panel. He's married with 2 young children and is a very committed Christian. He has a background in journalism and radio. His English is excellent. He is firm but fair and has a collaborative leadership style, which is important. We want to pause at this point and play you a video made by Emmanuel and Richard, a Potter's Village visitor. It'll enable you to get a feel for Emmanuel as a person.
My light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm.
My name is Emmanuel Mujuni, and I am the new administrator for Potter's Village Ministry. And right here, I'm standing at the site, and I want to take the opportunity to take you through and show you around the site so that you can know what we do here at Potter's Village. And I'll start with the building just behind me here, which is the heart of this very organization, which we call the Children's Crisis Center. So Faith Family is the other family that also takes care of these babies. They're just 2 families, this family here and Faith Family. And it's just the same like the other. They also have a facility that we call isolation for a new baby. So when a new baby, of course, comes, just like the same process, he's brought here and monitored, and when he's found to be fine, he's then brought to the rest of the other children here to socialize. So this is the medical center. You can see the staff are busy doing paperwork. And yes, the doctor is also in his room. Yeah, and right where we admit the children who are brought in, and like you see, there's a lot of work going on. Please carry on, continue. And this is the medical center where now the babies are brought. After they have been checked and examined, they are admitted and they are carefully observed for treatment.
In Christ alone.
And of course, this medical center also serves the entire community. As long as we have children, this serves the entire community. So we have recently been able to acquire a generator, which is very useful to maintain the power that runs the oxygen concentrators and the incubators in the medical center. So in case of an emergency of hydroelectricity power being off, we are able to run the facility on the generator.
Yeah, so like you can see, that is the nurse trying to give attention to the children who are in what we call the nutrition site. This is unit, we call it unit. And these children, some of them are really malnourished, like you're seeing. So they are here, and their mothers are being taught on how to feed them. And
so this is Green Cottages. It's accommodation for our visitors who come in from different places, and mostly those who are staying longer than a week. So this is the laundry section. As you can see, there's a lot of clothing on the line, nappies, and this is where all the washing is done. We have some machines in there, but much of it is done physically, and we have some of the people who attend to laundry around here. And this is where the children's clothes are brought to wash. This is the kitchen area, and it caters mainly for the food of the babies in the crisis center. And as you can see, the ladies in here are busy doing their job, preparing the meal for the babies in Faith and Angels. So here they prepare porridge for the different levels at which children are found. So this is the latest development here at Porter's Village. This is the antenatal wing, just a new development where we're going to be receiving mothers for antenatal care. We believe that in the future, if God wills and if funds allow, we'll later also provide for maternity. But as of now, we are just ready for antenatal. This is the social workers area, and she is the social worker right here. She's called Winifred Nyiramugisha, and she is good at her job. She is charged with making sure she goes to the field to find the mothers of the lost babies, and she works in close relation with the probation officer to make sure that the cases are solved and the resettlement is done in its good time. Yes, we have just had a tour of the site at Porter's Village Ministry, and it is really important to me to see that people out there can know the good work that is being done right here, thanks to the UK friends, thanks to Diocese of Mahabura, and thanks to Jenny Green, the vision bearer for this project. Here, the biggest work for me as administrator is to be a good steward of this facility and to be able to keep it running smoothly. And I'm really passionate about this. It's a noble job to be able to work in this ministry and, you know, get these children to have a life rather than losing them. And that is all possible because of you, the people who support this project, the UK friends of Porter's Village, the other people, individuals who come and visit the site and give donations. We run this facility on your generosity. So we want to encourage you to keep praying with us and supporting us in any way possible to run this facility here. Otherwise, I am very happy to have been able to accept the calling to serve as administrator in this place. Thank you.
Paying the wage of Emmanuel was a problem. The trustees simply did not have the funds. So we set aside £2,000 of St Mary's money to pay for the first 6 months of Emmanuel's salary. This lasts until our return in August, at which point we hope there will be funds to cover his wage. And we sincerely thank you for giving us this money to use.
The next issue was medical cover for when I leave. We thought that to find a good doctor with appropriate experience would be a daunting prospect, but no, it has been excessively easy. Emmanuel had a childhood friend called Edward, and Edward qualified as a doctor in 2015. He got a job in Kampala where he was earning a very good salary. Emmanuel could vouch for Edward's Christian standing, his moral character, his work ethic, and his passion for children's medicine. He could not say, however, if he was now too used to a high wage. We invited Edward to visit. He is gently spoken, but focused. He is looking to be more challenged medically, and the patients Potter's Village attracts would certainly provide this. He is very experienced in antenatal care and performing cesarean sections, and would enjoy developing the maternity unit. The plan is that mums having antenatal care with us, that mums will have antenatal care with us, and if all is well, they can then deliver at Potter's with the help of our midwives. But if there's a problem in labour and a cesarean section looks necessary, Edward will be allowed to go and perform that cesarean at Kisora Hospital with the help of their hospital theatre staff. If there is a doctor visiting Potter's Village and all is quiet, Edward will work at the hospital 2 days a week to improve maternity care there. It's a good reciprocal arrangement. Our overall aim is to lessen the numbers of maternal deaths and reduce the need to take in so many motherless newborn babies. As to the drop in salary, Edward is willing to take more than a half drop in salary. His feeling is that it is not the money that matters so much as doing the Lord's work. He's not saying that he would work for a pittance, just that he is not driven by his wage. And he will start work on September the 1st.
Taking on an administrator and a doctor is a huge additional expenditure. Emmanuel's wage amounts to £362 a month, and Edward's will be £786 a month. The medical centre has pledged to pay one third of Edward's wage for 2 years. We're giving him an initial 2-year contract, which will, of course, be extended if finances allow, which we hope they will. If we can raise enough for the wages of Emmanuel and Edward very soon, then we will have nearly 2 years to raise the wages for when the contract ends.
So our heartfelt plea is, please help us to find the money for wages. We need these people. God has sent them to us. Help us to keep them. Jesus' commission to us all was to go into the entire world and proclaim the gospel in word and action. It doesn't mean that we all physically have to go to a different country. For most of us, our mission field is on our doorstep. But you are also reaching out to Uganda in all the support that you provide. And we feel that we are your people on the ground in Kisoro. We are your representatives in that place. This year, we see God leading the project forward as our personal role begins to draw to a close. The needs will continue and support will still be required once we have left, but we want to leave the project in as strong a position as possible. We will use the funds raised from St. Mary's this year to that end. We want to leave some money for medication for Festo and an emergency fund for unseen events. We want to leave money for wages. The staff will get an unsatisfactory and minimal pay rise this year. That's not good. We want to help towards them having a reasonable pay rise next year. Staff feeling valued means good morale. They work very hard and they work very long hours. We would also like to help towards the salaries of Emmanuel and Edward, without whom the project will not continue. The project has developed massively in the past few years, and that has only been able to happen through the generous support, hard work in fundraising, and prayer support that you have collectively given. We hope that hearing how your efforts have been translated into results is an encouragement for you. Your endeavours and ours are changing the lives of countless children, families, and in the future, mothers in Kisoro. May God continue to lead us forward in this work together.
Can I pray for you, if I may? Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Mike and Sue. Thank you for all the work that they're doing at Potter's Village and for the big team that is now working there for the good of these children these mums, these dads, this community. And we pray for the new administrator, Emmanuel, and for the new Dr. Edward. And we thank you for the gift of them to this hospital, to Potter's Village. And we thank you for that, Father. And we pray that they would continue to be inspired by their work, and that the work would be in good hands with them. And we pray that there would be prayer and finance, plenty for both of them. And we pray for Mike and Sue as they have their last 9 months at Potter's Village, that they would end well, that they would leave confident in the knowledge that what they leave behind is in good working order, is fit for purpose, and will continue to bring health to this area of Uganda. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, Jonathan. Can I invite you to stand and we'll worship?